This podcast replay is brought to you by Welton Rayom. Call for a free consultation, 954-966-4646. At Welton Rayom, they don't get paid unless you win. Welton Rayom handles property damage claims due to a hurricane. Welton Rayom can help, 954-966-4646.
Right, all right. How you feeling, my man? You feeling good?
Feeling good. Yeah, another week and got through this draft. Tried to get some sleep after that. Reported on a lot of draft picks. Finally, 7 draft picks after a couple of 4-pick drafts the last couple of years. So I actually got to cover a first-round pick this year and then a bunch of undrafted free agents, which not, those were a little bit less than the last couple of years. But still, yeah, now feeling refreshed again.
Grades are silly overall because, of course, you really got to wait a couple of years. But they want us to always.
You're not going to ask me that.
Right. What's your thoughts on the draft overall?
Yeah, first, I'll start with the first round pick. At first, I didn't love it, but then I came around to really liking Chop Robinson. The more I looked into him and his pass rush win rate, his effects on the quarterback. Patrick Paul, then in the second round, I mean, I was here on this show on Friday, and actually he was my offensive pick as a prediction. You asked for one name and one name only, and the first one I gave you was Braden Fisk.
We don't fence straddling here, bro. We don't fence straddle on this show. We don't allow people to fence straddle on this show.
So then I gave you an offensive pick as a bonus, and then I ended up nailing it with the tackle out of Houston, who will be a developmental piece. But right now you have your starting tackles. You know you probably will have games where Teron Armstead will miss, but you already have that reserve veteran tackle. But then after that, if this is Teron Armstead's last year, if this is Kendall Lamb's last year, then Butch Berry can really take this guy and then give him that second season in the system, which is always key for these young offensive linemen. So I think they already saw a lot of improvement from him. Going into his senior year, how he just finished up his college career at Houston. And he's a great kid that I think will be very coachable, very energetic, very enthusiastic, and really wants to be a Dolphin. So I think he's going to really give it his all to make sure he continues to develop. And then I think they got a lot of good value picks on day 3. You end up trading into that 4th round. Jalen Wright, they get another speedy running back. So it was interesting that you go ahead and do the same, grab another one when you already are kind of loaded at that position. But now if Raheem Mostert is hampered by injury, if Devon Achane misses time, if one of those is out, then you still have two whenever. So you don't have to change up your offense too much. So from that standpoint, I do like it, even though if on the surface you might say, they already have that, they can do something else, they can grab an interior offensive line, but you're also into day 3 of the draft.
That was my explanation to your partner, Chris Perkins.
Right. Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, because he was complaining about it, and I explained to him that that's kind of – there's no more bell cows, dude.
Right,
you know? It's over, and it was more about – when you get to Chris Brooks and Jeff Wilson, he has to change the offense. So last year, both those guys were banged up. Now, if you have Jalen Wright, now the offense never changes because now you have 3 guys with the exact same skill set. So I thought he's hard-headed, bro. This is I'm talking about McDaniel.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Perk,
I'm talking about his style,
right now.
Power backs, because Perk and the rest of us are, you know, we're tuned in a different way. We want a big receiver. This guy doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care about big receivers.
Yeah,
the guys drafted, the guys undrafted, they were all small too.
Right,
it's amazing. He does not give a shit what we think, and just because we think traditionally, hey, go get him a big receiver. In his eyes, the big receiver is Jonnu Smith because right. He's the one that can run, actually. So he got a fast tight end, and that's his big target. Outside of that, all the other receivers are all small. Even all the slot receivers he got yesterday and the last 2 days in street free agency, he does things his way, dude. And so when they did the Jalen Wright thing, this is about him having his offense for 4 quarters. That's it. That's all it is.
Right, right. That's clearly the running back that he likes. And I kind of figured the Dolphins would get into either the third or fourth round. So I wasn't sure how it would be. I know a lot of times I was on this program and telling you, oh, I like the trade down scenario in the first round. So you add a third rounder that way, and then you still find some good value later in the first round. But they ended up doing it with the flexibility they have from the comp picks in 2025. From losing Tristan Wilson, from losing Rob Hunt in this year's free agency, you have some extra third rounders. You send one it was Philadelphia, right?
They send theirs because they can't trade the
compensatory. Right, right. Yeah. You can't trade your own. Chris Greer explained to us later, which I found interesting because I thought that what the Dolphins had from the 49ers when they had the Channing Tindall draft pick, that one was a comp pick. So I still have to look back into all that, but into how the 49ers ended up with sending theirs to the Dolphins when that trade happened previously. But anyway.
Oh, comp pick?
Well, yeah, because remember, Channing Tindall was 102.
It can be done after when you're already drafting. That's when it can, but you cannot trade your compensatory pick now. At this point, you have to wait till you're in the draft, and then you can make those trades.
The same pick can still be switched all over later. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, when the draft rolls around at that time, when the new calendar year rolls around next year, that's when I think you can trade them. But before, you can't. You can't trade compensatory picks because they're not officially awarded yet because they're not slotted yet.
Right. Right.
So next year, once the season's done and they're slotted, then I think that's how it goes. Don't gun to head or none, but
yeah,
there's a point where they become free for you to trade, and I believe it's around draft time.
Yeah. So, no, I myself was still going to go back and look into all those rules to make sure for future reporting. But it would make sense because you don't have it yet. Those get announced later, so. They have to go through the whole free agency, make sure they don't add another pick add another free agent that ends up canceling out one of the ones that they are slotted to get. But the point is they did know they had that flexibility because they know they have two coming from losing those two guys.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, but overall, what'd you think? 'Cause to me, I like the draft a lot. It's hard to give it a grade, I'll screw around with it, have some fun and say A-. But it made a lot of sense to me, the draft. You got a couple of pass rushers in Robinson and Kamara. You got a future offensive lineman because obviously Teron and Lamb are done next year. So now you've got Keon and Patrick opposite of Jackson. So you're planning ahead of time. Jalen Wright, again, this is your offense. This is what you want to run. Okay, I get it now. You want to run the same kind of backs? Okay. The other two were banged up. Now you got an extra one. So now you got three guys. And everybody loved this kid, Jalen Wright, dude. Like, holy shit, the reviews on him. Every one of my guys loves Jalen Wright. Like, through the roof. Then the Malik Washington kid fits that. They clearly have a hard-on to fix the slot because – they went and got Malik Washington. They got the Taj Washington kid. Then they got Matthew Sexton and Jaquan Burton, the Eastern Michigan and FAU kid. So they're – and along with Berrios, like, they're going to solve that third wide receiver problem somehow or another because they overloaded at that position, not just in the draft, but then in street free agency. And then you've got Berrios on top of that. And then they love their West Coast safeties. So they went and got Patrick Mahomes. I don't know what it is, but they go out. You need a safety out West, young man. You know, it's kind of what happens, in the Dolphin draft room. I don't know what it is, but they Vernon whatever the third is a cow. Yeah,
Bro McKinley.
and then obviously Holland is what's it called?
Oregon and also Vancouver. He's from Vancouver, right? And then Oregon. And also Jordan Poyer went to Oregon State, even though he spent the last decade, you know, in the NFL and several years in Buffalo. So that is very interesting.
But, yeah, it's like, I don't know what the hell this is with the West Coast safety thing, but you know, they're West Coast, not East. I don't know what, maybe it must be those regional scouts over there.
Right. Right.
One of those guys must be a former safety or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but Greer, Allen, and McKenzie, either they're scouting the West or they've got a regional scout that just, you know, I got us a safety, you know, that kind of shit. But to me, it made a lot of sense. And even when you go into the street free agents, they went and added more offensive linemen. They went and added more defensive ends and linebackers. They really attacked. They got a safety in Jordan Colbert. They got another corner in Storm Duck, who obviously has got a great name. So what I like about what they did was they really attacked their deficiencies, and they planned ahead with Patrick. So to me, that's why I like what they did. It kind of made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I were to give it a grade, I might go B, just a solid B. So yeah, I mean, you start off with an edge rusher. So now you are covered. If Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb aren't up to snuff to start the season. So you could throw out a starting combination of him and Shaq Barrett, of Chop Robinson and Shaq Barrett, if you need to. But then once you do have Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb available, then what a rotation that is. And look at the packages. We talked about this on Friday, that you can get three and maybe even the four guys on in a package, in a pass rushing package on third down. That will be vital on third down. It'll be absolutely vicious against opposing quarterbacks. So love to see that. We all had edge rusher as a position to target for the Dolphins. Even if you have one of the better starting tandems, you can never have enough. And I think Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer really understand that after the way last season ended and how they were signing any veteran that they could off the street to play in Kansas City and play in a playoff game. So then you got your tackle of the future. So you got that covered. A running back that you like. And then those two slot guys, that'll be good competition. Malik Washington.
Washington boys.
Yeah. Two slot Washingtons. I mean, they really found a lot of similarities in them, similar heights.
We love our Jalens. We love our Washingtons. Oh, yeah. And we love our West Coast safeties. That's how we roll.
Well, we should look into the 2025 draft and make sure there's no safety out of Seattle named Jalen Washington, because that would be the ultimate, just everything, all worlds colliding, coming together. But
all we know as Dolphin fans from now on, and Dolphin media, is we must scout all West Coast safeties from here on out, and just have a list of West Coast safeties coming out of the draft, because guaranteed one of them is going to end up on the Alcoin Orange roster. I don't know.
Yeah, just one of those things. But yeah, and I was looking into Malik Washington. I mean, his short area quickness is phenomenal. So, I mean, that's great for a slot receiver. And that's why he was able to get 110 receptions and lead college football at Virginia. So,
they will solve that slot problem this year. Yeah. Because, bro, they attacked it. They attacked it with two draft picks, two undrafted. And bringing Berrios back. Berrios must be like, shit, dude. They drafted another. They signed another. Like, he must be like, holy crap, dude. I got a lot of competition. Yeah. And I like Malik. I like what I see from him as an athlete. But let me tell you something. And I know people are going to freak out on this, and they'll freak out if it does happen early on. Don't be surprised if Muhammad Kamara is the guy that is impressing earlier than Chop.
Yeah.
I say that. Why? Chop is still not completely he's not even close to a finished product. He's super raw. Well, Kamara, because he's undersized, he was forced to actually learn a lot faster in order to be effective. So you watch him with some of his power moves and his spin moves and the way he uses his technique, he might be a little bit more polished actually than Chop at this point in time, because when you're shorter or you have some kind of deficiency, you have to work that much harder than all the other athletes in order to overcome. So don't be surprised if this Kamara kid is incredibly intriguing, dude, because I don't give a shit what level you're at. 30 and a half sacks, 45 tackles for losses. That's not a joke, dude. That's not a joke at any level. And it's not even Division II. This guy played at a half decent school. Those are some stats. So either you have a knack for the football, or I don't know, he had the luckiest career of his life. But I'm gonna go with you got a knack for the football.
Yeah. You don't get those numbers just by accident. You don't get 13 sacks last season by accident. And same school, you talk about competition, the same school that Shaq Barrett came out of. So now you get a couple of Colorado State Rams as edge rushers for the Dolphins. Yeah, he was the other guy I wanted to talk about.
Sacks in a college career.
Yeah.
Is a great career, dude.
Yeah.
It's a great career. That means you were a very effective pass rusher. And yeah. I don't know. If he had 3.5 sacks, how many pressures and hits and hurries did that guy have? Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, a phenomenal burst of motor off the edge, his quickness. I mean, because he also ran his 40 in a great time. So, incredible athleticism. And also, he dipped a little bit more than he was expecting. He was, I think some were saying round 3, he could have been a day 2 pick. So, and I think he definitely viewed himself as that as well from talking to him on the Zoom after he was selected by the Dolphins in the 5th round. So he came at it. He had a quote where he was like, what was it? He was saying, all 31 other teams, watch out because I'm very, he said, I'm very excited, but I'm very, very angry that I went when I did. So now he's coming in with the chip on his shoulder. And that's part of this BPA, best player available approach once you get to this point. So maybe other teams, they were drafting by what position they wanted to target in a certain round and eliminating whoever was the best player at that point in time. Maybe that's how Jalen Wright was there in the 4th round, how Mohamed Kamara was there in that 5th round, and even a prospect like Malik Washington lasts until the 6th round after he led all of college football in receptions. And then you go ahead and draft those guys when maybe other teams, they look at their positions of need and restrict themselves and then bypass these players. And that's how they dip. And then you end up getting the most talented players that remain out there. Even though if you're the Dolphins, we use a first round pick on an edge rusher. Well, if Mo Kamara is the best player once we come around in the 5th round, then go ahead and bring him in. Because even if we did already address that position earlier in this draft, Jalen Wright's there, a guy that we love. Even though we do have Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane right now, bring him in because we know the offense suffers a little bit if one of our guys goes down and we need another guy that fits this offense. So drafting the guys that they targeted, that they liked, their best player available at different points in the draft, and guys that fit what they want to do.
Don't forget, Jeff Welt and Daniel Rayom, you could call them 954-966-4646. The consultation is completely free. And remember, we got hurricane season right around the corner. We're about to hit May. It starts in June, goes all the way to November. I hope we never get hit by a storm. But if it does happen, before you call the insurance companies, you need to call Welton Rayon. They have their own adjusters. 954-966-4646. If you had a car accident, bankruptcy, personal injury, call them. 954-966-4646. All right, so I don't think this changes anything with Odell. Even though they added all these guys, I still think that they would add Odell if he wants to sign here at their price. What do you think now with that?
Yeah, I mean, the draft doesn't change anything from that standpoint. Maybe it would have if they went and grabbed, like, if Brian Thomas was the pick at 21 or
an outside. Something. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and specifically, right, if you target out, you know, a receiver that would play more so on the outside as opposed to slot. So
Odell's not a slot guy. You don't want to put him in the slot. He's a soft player. You know, you need a tough guy in the middle. Yeah. That's why they got the Malik Washington, because he looks like he's got some toughness, like Bear. Yeah. And, and all that. Or you could play Waddle inside because he's a tough son of a bitch. And you saw it the first year when they had no choice but to play him in the slot so they could get rid of the ball quickly. So so you're with me on this. Since Odell's more of an outside guy, I think he's still in play.
Right. And even if you did draft an outside guy in the sixth or seventh round like they did the slot guys, then I wouldn't eliminate pursuit either way. So,
I would have been different.
Right. That would be different if you're drafting an outside wide receiver earlier in the draft and then, okay, now you got your guy there and you got him at a lot cheaper of a rate than what Odell would cost you. But even then, Odell will have to meet the Dolphins price too. If he wants to be here, the Dolphins aren't going to overpay. They're not going to do what the Baltimore Ravens did last year to get him for a year at $15 million, something like that. It's Chris Greer is going to be more prudent with his spending. So don't expect something like that to go down, but would be a very nice addition. And also once that June 1 money hits, then the Dolphins will be very flush with cash to be able to make whatever move necessary.
Yeah. The Tua deal will come then. All right. What do you got going on the Sun Sentinel so folks can check you out?
Yeah. Just wrapping up all this draft coverage. Got everything on all these draft picks on all the undrafted, the 12 undrafted free agents that have been confirmed. And I think that would be it for now. Because the roster is about 87 players right now. So leaving three available for maybe Odell, maybe, some other rotational pieces. What else we got? Today we have interviews with Zach Sealer and Austin Jackson. So I'll be writing up on what they have to say. Zach Sealer will be interesting. Defensive tackle rotation now without Christian Wilkins. And Austin Jackson, of course, always good to check in on him as well.
All right, good stuff. Follow him on Twitter at @DavidFaronis_. And reach out to our guys at Welton Rayom, 954-966-4646. As always, my brother, thank you. We will catch up on Friday.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thank you.
You got it. That's our Miami Dolphins report, our Welt and Realm Miami Dolphins report with the one and only David Faronis. We take a break.